If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the 24th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled." See to it. Make sure that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended. Many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And then the Lord gives us in verse 14 of chapter 24 of Mark's Gospel what really matters in changing times, perilous times, strange times. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." I don't think that I'm alone in something that I experienced this past week. I don't listen to an over amount of news. I read the headlines, and if something looks interesting, maybe sometimes a page or two further into the paper to see what they say is happening. But it was just one of those days when it just hit me. We're living in the days of wars. All my life there has been a war somewhere. All my life. There's either been a war happening then at a given moment, or it was about to happen, or something was building up and festering. All of my life there have been wars and or rumors of wars. And it's the same all over the world today. And then we were reading about the devastating fires that were destroying the property of so many people in the state of Colorado. And then on top of that, threats of the dirty bomb. You think, what else can happen? And then you reflect back to 9/11, when over 3,000 people's lives were taken. And when we talk about being a little frustrated with another nation, we're not talking about agitation. We're talking about a hatred that runs so deep that every person possible could be destroyed. And as far as they're concerned, they're all infidels and it's all justified. And so you can deprive husbands of wives and wives of husbands and children of families and children. In fact, the strange thing about it, we've come to the time when families celebrate their children, even girls now. Boys and girls, teenagers, giving their lives to, quote, destroy infidels. And if there's ever been a time when I am thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a religion of hate. I don't like to call it a religion, but you understand what I'm saying. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a religion or a gospel of hate. It's a gospel of love. And if anyone ever walked the love walk and live the example of the love of God, it was Jesus. It's unthinkable to think that an entire religion would be based on hatred. It's unthinkable. As I looked at this, and then I thought, oh dear God, we don't really know who the enemy is. We know where they come from, we know what they do, we know their mindset, but we really don't know who the enemy is. And I don't fly all the time, but I fly from time to time, and I fly some great distances, and I'm telling you, people that are flying are profiling that whole plane. I've seen, you know, big, strong men. One day sitting beside a man, he said, if I see anything that's negative on this flight, he said, I've been trained. I know what to do with these hands. In the military, I know what to do. And he said, I'm willing to lay it all on the line. And I mean, there are people in flights that are profiling everyone else. And so that's the day in which we live. Now, that's the negative side of it, or that's the realistic side of it. And I, for just a moment, you know, a pastor has a fixed heart. We want to fix things. We want to help people. I don't like to see people hurting. I don't like to see people in difficult times. I don't like to see people that are up against things that they don't know what to do with. And I'm always thinking, how could we pray about that? How could we make a difference? And of course, you can't in every situation. But that's just a pastor's heart. And then I thought, oh God, what could we do? How can we change our world? The way things have escalated, what can we do? And I'll be honest with you, even though I know the power of the gospel of Christ, there was almost a feeling of helplessness that came over me. How can we turn this thing around? And I said, God, what can we do? And God said, I'll tell you what you can do. There's something you can do about your world. There is something you can be that can have an effective change in your world. And so I just began to write as God spoke to my heart. And first of all, God said, you can walk in love in a world of hate. Jesus walked in love in a world of hate. That doesn't mean that you don't defend yourself or that a nation does not retaliate. But I mean, you single-handedly cannot turn this world around. But I can, you can, we can walk in love in a world of hate. That's exactly what Jesus did. He cast out devils. They said he cast out devils by the power of the devil. He healed the sick, and they said, we know where that comes from, and they attributed that to the devil. And they put him on a cross. But even on that cross, Jesus himself said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know, really, you never go wrong when you walk the love walk. You never go wrong when you respond in God's love in a world of hatred. Love never fails. That's either true or it's not true. The Bible said it, so I believe it's true. Love never fails. You can respond to what someone else is doing in traffic, and there may be a major incident as two people come together. You can respond, just a few words. People are on the edge. Well, I don't have to put up with that. I'll tell you what and you see, just a few words. Words start wars. Words break relationships. Words bring strangers together to hate each other in a very unusual way. But you know one thing I can do? I can walk in love in a world of hatred. In a world filled with hatred, I can walk in love. I can walk in agape love. I can walk in the love of God. Think about what I'm telling you. I can walk in love. No matter how many people come against us, we can walk in love. And the reason we can walk in love is because love is inside of us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible clearly says, love one another. Not destroy one another, but love one another. Not hate one another, but love one another. Not hurt one another, but love one another. I can walk in love in a world where there is so much hatred. In the business world, in the education world, in traveling overseas. I've proven this time and time again. It really tries everything that is within you. If anything can go wrong, it'll go wrong when you try to travel. But I found if you just hold steady and treat people decently and respond to people in a decent way, when everyone else is going ballistic, if you be the calm one, God some way, somehow will turn things around and bring you out in victory. In an office, when everything's filled with gossip, in an office when it's, you know, dog eat dog, in the corporate world where everyone's trying to do unto others before they do unto them. You say, well, if I walk the love walk, they'll eat me up alive. Well, they'll eat Jesus up alive if they eat you up alive. But I'm challenging you today. No, I'm not saying that if someone's threatening your life that you don't respond in any appropriate way that you could respond. But I'm talking about life, daily life. On the freeway, in the neighborhood, in the educational world in which you live, in the corporate world where you live, wherever you live, in the neighborhood where you live, you can walk in love in a world that is filled with hate. And it's a choice that every one of us have to make. I can get even or I can get ahead. I can walk in God's love and all the resources of heaven are with me, or I can respond in my own natural strength, and that's very limited, and that'll come to an end. Oh, church, listen to what God spoke to my heart, and you bear witness with me as I speak it. I can choose to walk in love in a world that's seething with hate. I can choose to walk in love in a world that may have chosen an alternate pathway. You know, we've run up against a lot of things in third world nations. And I'm telling you, there's been more than one time when in my heart I said, you know, how much more can we take, God? When you're there to help people and the very people you're there to help are putting it to you. I mean, it's costing money for you to show God's love to them and they're trying to get your money. And that's not a peculiar experience to us. Anyone that works in different situations could give their own share of stories. I could tell you any number of ministries who have given food and clothing and education and shelter. And in return for that, there was not a thanks or appreciation for that. How many people did Jesus heal that didn't appreciate it? How many people did Jesus bless that did not appreciate it? How many people did Jesus give God's best to them on that occasion or in that moment when they really didn't comprehend that they were standing in the presence of the Son of the living God? But he just kept on loving, and he just kept on living, and he just kept on loving, and he just kept on living. And it works, it works, it works. Takes a little while to work, but it works. I can choose to walk in love. No matter what has happened to me, I can choose to walk in love. No matter what someone said, I can choose to walk in love. That's something I can do. That's something you can do. By the help of God, that's something you can do. That's something that I can do. Not only can I walk in love, but let me tell you something. I can walk in trust. I can walk in trust and faith believing in a world that's filled with terror and terrorism. Now Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See to it that you be not troubled. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 24. See, verse 6, see that you be not troubled. See to it. Apply yourself to this. And you say, well, does that work for all of us? Yes. Every day we have the choice. I'm going to let my heart be troubled about something or about many things, or I'm going to see to it that I be not troubled. Psalms 37 said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. People who are not doing the right thing. Well, if they would just do the right thing, that's good theory. This world would be a different world if everybody did the right thing. The Bible said, don't fret yourself about evildoers, those who do wrong. In fact, if you read Psalms 37 and Psalm 73, classic masterpieces from the throne of God, the Bible tells us that one day you'll look for the wicked that have given you the hardest time and you won't even be able to find them. You look at them now and it seems like they're blessed and they're flourishing and they're growing and you do all the right things and you're having a hard time and they're doing nothing that the Word of God says to do and they're just growing like a green bay tree. It just looks like everything they put their hand to prospers. And anytime you have a bad day along these lines, you carefully, prayerfully read Psalms 37 and Psalm 73. And I'm telling you, those are powerful portions of God's word to tell you that God brings the righteous out in victory. You don't judge your life by any one day. You don't judge your life by any one week or any one month. Wait and give God time to work. Fret not yourself. Don't let yourself be caught up into the pressure cooker of the world. I mean, you can just sing and rejoice in the craziest circumstances. I mean, you can praise God. You can sing the praises of God. You might have a supervisor that's rubbing you like sandpaper. But oh, just get that believer's grin on your face and most important of all in your heart and just say, I choose to trust and not be troubled. I choose to trust and not be troubled. I'm trying to help you. You can choose to walk in love in a world that's filled with hatred. You can choose to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And if you don't, your heart's going to be troubled. Because if you haven't noticed, let me give you a great shocking revelation. Most people don't do the right thing. And many believers don't do the right thing. Let's go a little further. Many preachers don't do the right thing. Now you have a choice. Am I going to be bitter or better? Because the moment I choose sides and say, I choose to be bitter about that, then I get out of the arena of God's blessing. It really doesn't make any difference what anyone says. I mean, you know, it hurts. But it really doesn't make any difference what people say or what people do. I just feel sorry for people that don't do the right thing. I really do. I just feel sorry for people that don't play with the rules of the road. That's their problem, not mine. But I have a choice to make. I'm going to do the right thing. I said, I'm going to do the right thing. I've made up my mind. I've come too far. I'm going to do the right thing. And doing the right thing does not always win the first 24 hours or the first 24 days or the first 24 months. But it does work. And I've just had to come to the conclusion some sheep just don't have a clue. They don't know the difference. When I was in Scotland, they told me the story. They have the stone walls and the hedges. And sheep will commit suicide trying to get to the other side because they view the pasture as being greener on the other side. And a sheep will back up and run into that rock wall until he breaks his neck if there's not a careful shepherd that will help him, and the sheep will let the shepherd help him. Many a sheep breaks his neck trying to get through a little hole that his body would never go through. Because he peeked on the other side and he saw some green grass and he thought, woo. But you know where the grass is green? Where God put you. You know where the grass stays green? Where God put you. You know where the grass is not poisonous? Where God placed you. He leadeth me. Green pastures, still waters. I've lived long enough to appreciate people that are honest and honorable and have character and an integrity. And I'm going to be that kind of a person if God will just continue to show me how to be that. I want to do what's right. I don't want to be an opportunist. I don't want to walk over someone else to accomplish what God's called me to do. I want to do it God's way. So I can walk in love in a world of hatred, and I can trust and fret not, because the Lord said, see that you be not troubled. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Psalms 37:1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And also it goes further to say, rest in the Lord, trust in the Lord, fret not thyself because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. You always have had that type of person, and you always will. There will always be a Judas in the wings. There will always be someone who is taking advantage of situations. But if you'll just do it God's way, if you'll just walk God's way, if you'll just keep a good spirit, don't get even get ahead. You can trust. You see, it's never too late to do the right thing. And it's always right to do the right thing. And it's not too late to turn around and go God's direction. And when you begin to go in God's direction, one step at a time, I can't leap and take all the journey in one step, but I just take it one step at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 5-minute at a time, 1 hour at a time. And I just keep saying, I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I lean not to my own understanding. In all of my ways, I acknowledge him, and he directs my paths. God brings me through. God brings me out. God makes a way for me. It's the way I've lived for lo these many years. God makes a way. God brings us through. When you understand and when you don't understand. It's a faith walk. Never forget, it's all faith. It all comes back to faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. I love to walk by sight, but you don't walk by sight. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. You don't walk by the way things look right now. You don't walk by the way things look right now. You don't walk by the way things appear right now. You walk by faith. The just shall live, Habakkuk said, by his faith. I can't be your faith and you can't be my faith. I can inspire your faith and you can inspire my faith, but the just shall live by his faith. And I'm talking to you about two basic, powerful truths that you can do in a world that just, it doesn't make sense. Strange world we live in today. I can walk in love in a world that's filled with hatred. I can trust in a world that's filled with trouble on every hand. I can trust in the Lord with all my heart. Well, there's something else I can do. I can pray. I said, I can pray. Because when prayer goes up, God comes down. You know Jeremiah 33:3 is God's phone number. And if it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. And I don't mean one of those long, oh, thou knowest, oh, thou great, omniscient, omnipresent, you know, one of those big flowery religious prayers. Remember the prayer that Elijah prayed in 1 Kings 18:24. Some say it took 18 seconds. We'll give him 30 seconds. His prayer was short because his faith was long. His prayer was short because his faith was strong. And we've discovered it's not how long you pray, it's believing when you pray. We don't need around the world prayers, we need targeted prayers. targeted prayers. That's what Dr. Finney said. He said, direct prayers bring direct answers. I can pray. So I can love, I can trust, but I can pray. I would have never made it out of those beginning days of starting in the ministry when it seemed like God has always called me to stretch, and oftentimes stretch beyond, except I had known the power of prayer. Because I know when you don't understand and when you don't have the power and when you don't have the ability, if you'll talk to God and just wait in God's presence, prayer is not all talking. Prayer is listening. Listen to what God is saying. Talk to God. He'll listen to you. And God wants you to listen to him. It's a two-way situation. I often refer to it because it was a pivotal point in my life. Hardly a mile from this location. Couldn't tell you how many times I spent a portion of the night in prayer to get over another hurdle, to get around impossible situations. When the devil was coming in like a flood, when the devil said, your ministry will never go anywhere. Your ministry will never, will never, will never, will never. And all I knew to do about that was pray. And I remembered Hezekiah when he got that letter from Sennacherib, was it? He took that letter to the house of God, laid it on the altar, and he said, God, you can read just as well as I can. Here's what the enemy says, and he's talking about you, God, because I'm your child. And I'm telling you, when the enemy rings your doorbell, don't answer. And when Satan writes you a letter, you just stand on the word of God. Time after time. I didn't know how to pray, but thank God that we can pray in the Spirit. Sometimes it's with other tongues, and sometimes it's with a groaning which cannot be uttered. As one wisely said, there is a prayer that breaks the back of words. There is a prayer that your human spirit cannot utter. Only the Holy Spirit through your spirit can pray that prayer. And that's what real prayer and real intercession is all about. You yield yourself to God and let the Spirit of God pray through you. Never forget one of those situations where the church was in jeopardy, and it was a difficult time, and an evangelist had come in, a novice, just a raw novice, but it's amazing how people can follow some strange things. And I mean, this man stole the hearts of the people. For the first time I saw my father-in-law, who was a very, very strong man, he said, son, he said, the pressure's just on me. He said, I'm going to take 2 weeks off. You're in charge. I said, thanks, Dad. Oh, Jesus. And I thought, what am I going to do? Here's a man of great experience, and I've never seen him lose a battle yet, but something about this has really pressed him to the max. And again, I got me a Bible, and I got a legal pad, and I got me a prayer towel, and went in and locked all the doors of the church. And praise God, I spent the night in prayer. And I don't know what all I prayed, but I know when the sun came up the next morning, there was blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There was something in my spirit that said everything's going to be all right. That God's going to take a negative situation and turn it around. Oh, there were a few folks that were affected by it, but God spared the church. Because a novice, because a young man, because a rookie, because a beginning preacher didn't know what to do with it, but he got on his face before God and he prayed to God and he prayed with his prayer language and he prayed through groanings which cannot be uttered, and a prayer that breaks the back of words. When the sun came up the next morning, there was a glorious assurance in my heart. I couldn't explain it. I couldn't articulate it. I didn't understand it in the natural. Oh, but thank God, God brought us through. God brought us through. God brought us through. And I'm here to tell you tonight, when everything comes against you, get on your face before God. Open your Bible. Get you a pen. Get a notebook of some kind. Because when you talk to God, eventually God's going to talk to you. Sometimes prayer is just flushing all that negativism out of us, flushing all the unbelief out of us, flushing all those negative feelings that just keep pressing you down. That's why you need to spend some, there's times that you need to spend some extra time in prayer, because I'm telling you, folks, this world will fill you up to the brim. And as you pray, it flushes that unbelief out. It flushes that frustration out. It flushes that hopelessness out. And oh, when we're emptied, then thank God, God can fill us up. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. And God fills us with hope and faith and love. And God fills us with that blessed assurance that everything's going to be all right. No matter what the doctors say, no matter how your children seem to be, no matter how your grandchildren seem to be, no matter what your business affairs need to be, because there's a way when you pray. And as much as I believe in prayer and thank God for the power tower can't do all your praying for you. It's not designed for that. There is a prayer that only you can pray. And there's a prayer that's only going to work when you pray that prayer. And you can pray that prayer. Jesus said men ought to pray. He knew the women would probably, but he said men ought to pray. Luke 18 and 1. Men ought to pray. You get men praying and watch it, something's going to break loose. The biggest challenge to most church folks is stop telling your problems to everybody else and get on your face and talk to God and stay on your face until God empties you of your problem and fills you with the answer. Stay on your face before God until God empties you of your problem and fills you with your answer. You've heard what everyone else has to say. Some of you have a notebook full of prophecies, but not one of those things is going to work until you let God empty you of your problems and let God fill you with the answer. I can pray. Paul prayed. Jesus prayed. Jeremiah prayed. Isaiah prayed. Abraham prayed. David prayed. Because there's a way when you pray. I can pray. But oh, there's another one I want to share with you, and I can witness. Now let me tell you something about witnessing. All these other things being in order. Every time I witness to somebody, and you know, you really, it doesn't always go as far as you'd like for it to, but every time I get involved in a powerful witness, I feel like I got saved all over again myself. Now, you know that's not true, but I'm telling you, it releases something inside of you. You talk about endorphins. There's something stronger than that. Because when you do what God said to do, then you're going to experience what God desires for you to experience. Now, I want to come down a little strong right now because God's been dealing with me about this. Sometimes we go through seasons when we're more fervent in witness than others. But you listen to Pastor Bob Nichols. Every relative you have is going to heaven or hell. Sweet little aunt, sweet little grandmother, sweet little nieces. No matter how sweet your family is, they're not too sweet to go to hell. Everyone you work with is going to heaven or to hell. You say, are you being the judge? No, I'm not the judge. That's just what the Word of God said. Repent, or you'll all likewise perish. And you know, when you get that thing in your spirit, I can't witness every time I want to. I'm not always, it's not all, you can't be released sometimes. There's people that your heart goes out to that you're to pray about. But at every opportunity, if you'll start loving people, you know, it's hard to witness to people unless you love them. I've seen three or four people gang up on a waitress in a restaurant and just really, I wanted to say, oh God, forgive us. It's like you're badgering the waitress. And then another one comes up with a bright idea and another one has their favorite little witnessing tool. And there's been many a time when everyone left the table and I stayed there. Made sure the tip was extra good. And I said, I want to tell you something. I don't know what your response was to what was said, but let me just tell you, God loves you. God's not here to judge you. And if you'll just talk to Jesus, he'll change your life. And I've seen many times, it doesn't always work that way, but I've seen God just melt hardened hearts. Folks, the church is going to have to get back to the fact that ye shall be witnesses unto me. Everyone you know, everyone you work with, don't wait until the memorial service and say, oh, I wish that I had talked to them about Jesus. You say, but they may not understand. They may not. You say they may be critical. They may be. You say I may be unpopular. You may be. But if you do it in a good spirit, God will take it and God will turn it in the way that it should go. And God will give you those open doors of opportunity. I'll tell you one of the best ways to witness. Oh, I've got a headache. Oh, would you mind if I just prayed for you? Now, if the headache's bad enough, they'll let you do it. How you doing? Oh, man. I've got a teenager that's, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what. Oh, well, I'll be, what's their name? I want to pray for them. Prayer touches people's heart. And when they see that you're interested in them, then they will listen to you talk about your Jesus. Don't just walk up and give them the big karate chop. Stick a track in their nose and wonder why they don't love you and your Jesus also. Find an entrance point. Find a point of need. Find something that they vocalize and they say, well, I'm facing this or I'm going through this or this is a problem in my life. And just gently move into that. I will pray for you. I'll put that on the prayer list. We have people at our church that pray 24 hours a day. We'll put your name there. We'll pray about that. Oh, you will? And then the next time you talk to them, they're going to be more open than they were the last time. I'm going to tell you, folks, it takes an anointing of God to witness. I was in a store the other day, and I just was praying for words because I knew God wanted me to witness to that cashier. And I don't even remember the intro that God gave, but you know, everyone's talking about the wars and rumors of wars, and I mean, people just bring it up to you, and oh, it's the best open door to witness. It's just tremendous because one man said I was in the Marines and I was in a certain country, and he said certain things were happening in 1971. And he said no one knows what we went through in that particular society. And I began to talk to him about Jesus. And there was another woman. And she said, well, you know, she said, I grew up in religion that was very strict and very judgmental. I said, well, I can understand that. I face some of that too. But there's so much good. And I began to talk about the good. She said, you know, you're right. And after a while, she said, now, where is your church? And what nights do you have church? Sometimes I have to work Sunday. I said, well, we have Thursday night service. But you see, there's always a way to witness to someone. Folks, listen to me. If you don't know, and many times I ask the question, do you know Jesus? Sometimes it's as harmless as, do you have a church home? That's a gentle entry, you see, on a plane. Oh, well, do you have a church home? Well, I'm Catholic. Oh, wonderful. Do you know Mary's son? Do you know Jesus? A lot of Baptists that don't know Jesus. A lot of Charismatics that don't know Jesus. A lot of Catholics that don't know Jesus. There's a way. Oh, that's your church. Well, what do you do? After a while, just one thing leads to another. Just think, if everyone in this service would go out and effectively witness to and win one person in the next few days, think of the effect that would have on the kingdom of God. Think about it. Everybody's got a problem. Everyone's facing something. Everyone has some stuff going on in their life. And you meet them on the level where they are. I can be a witness in a world that's confused. So instead of walking around troubled and frustrated, I can love. I can walk in love. I can trust God. I can pray. I can be a witness. These are positive things that I can do in a negative world, and nobody can stop me. It's just between God and my own heart. No one can stop me. No one can stop me. I can love. You can't stop me from loving. I can trust. I can pray. And I can witness. Oh, I tell you, these are such. And I said, yes, God, yes. And you know, I got to meditating on this and got to just writing out some of these simple points. And you know, before long, I forgot about my frustration with the news. And I forgot about my rage toward people that hate this great nation. That even when we win a war, we go back and rebuild their nation. We buy their cars. We buy their products. With all of our faults, it's interesting to follow the track record of the United States of America. Yes, we have our faults. But you know, the world still hates us because of our God. And thank God, the last time I checked, it's still on my currency. Still there, isn't it? Yeah, still there. In God we trust. It's still there. But there's one more that I can give you. I can keep the fires of revival burning in my heart. The fires of the news media do not inspire the fires of revival. We must, in one sense, never forget 9/11, but on the other hand, we cannot let that ruin the rest of our life. We must remember that if our nation ever needed revival, our nation needs a revival of returning to the living God more than ever before. And every nation that we've had problems with and all of this craziness that has happened, if they had the right God, if they had the right Bible, and if they had the right fruit, it wouldn't have happened. If I serve the right God and I believe in the right Bible and I have the right fruit in my life, I'm not going to harm you. I'm not going to harm you. I'm not going to harm you. Folks, we must have spiritual revival. And you say, well, things are kind of quiet right now. Yeah, they're quiet because we need to sit and soak. I'm talking to you out of a pastor's heart. I'm talking to you high above 40 years of experience in being a pastor. I didn't start yesterday. So many kind cards and correspondence that we receive say we appreciate character and integrity over the years. Well, to God be the glory. But you've got to have a foundation for revival or it just becomes a giddy feeling and a, you know, can you top this? And sometimes I've seen things in the midst of revival. I mean, I'll take the true spirit of revival anytime. But I mean, sometimes they really don't know what they're doing. They really don't know what they're saying. I mean, when it's all over, it's just like a puff. It's gone. I want something that'll stir my heart and keep me stirred. I want something that'll change my life and keep me changed. I want something that'll hold me when the storms of life break through, break in upon my life. When the feeling's gone, the faith is still there. When the feelings have taken the wings of the morning, faith in God and faith in God's word will see you through. That's what I'm called of God to do. I love revival. I love rejoicing. I love all the things that God does. I thank God for it. This church will always be in debt to the power and the fruit of spiritual revival. But if your life is not founded on the Word of God, you'll get excited tonight and you'll forget it before you get to the parking lot. Next week, you won't know where you are, what you're doing. You'll just be in and out, up and down, off and on. You're moved by personalities. You're moved by the latest buzz. You're moved by the latest this. You're moved by the latest that. But let me tell you, if we ever needed strong faith in God, that faith in God will bring us through. And it's available tonight. And because of all that, then we can say, revive us again. Revive me again, Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Revive us again, Lord. Fill up my joy jug. Overflow my life. Fill me with the spirit of revival, refreshing and renewal.